Welcome to Blind Submissions, where DIY bands submit songs for us to listen to and react to blind. Every week, we'll bring a guest from the underground music, arts, or entertainment scene to help you sort through mountains of new music. We go in blind, so you don't have to. Blind Submissions.
Blind Submissions!
Hey, everybody. Long time no see.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to another episode of
Blind Submissions.
Semi-hot.
We're back. We did it, baby.
Holy cow.
When was the last episode?
June?
June, I believe.
May?
It was June.
June? I think it was June.
So shit, some life happened, huh?
We took the summer off.
it's
summer got busy.
It's the end of October.
Life was crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, COVID happened.
Yeah, well, I think we'll get into it more.
At the end.
We'll talk a little bit at the end.
Yeah.
And maybe across episodes, nothing that exciting.
Yeah.
If I'm being totally honest, but.
Exactly.
Life happened, and now Blind Submissions is happening again.
And now we're back.
And it feels kind of good.
Episode 89?
It's like 88? No, it's like 85. 85.
Sweet. Shit.
Dude, we had to figure out.
Season two.
Did we even remember how to do this?
I really hope so. I hope this doesn't end and all the, you know, you're like, oh, I forgot to push that button.
Press record. No, look, if I could touch the camera. Well, here, I can show. Well, no, if I, plugs might come out. I won't do that.
Yeah, don't.
But we are recording. We're capturing audio.
We are capturing.
We have a guest.
It's going to be awesome.
Hey, and we're going to get right the fuck into it this time. And
we have a great guest.
And we'll talk a little bit more at the end about, you know, JD and Jeff shit.
Yeah, and we can't figure out how we've never had this guest on or how we don't even know this guest
already.
I've never met him because we run in the same circles. We've are friends with the same bands, know the same people, and this is a band that I have loved forever. They are so fucking good. So anyways, our guest is Scott Evans, who is the guitarist and singer for Kowloon Walled City, who is actually based in Oakland.
Yep.
So they're local.
Yep.
He also runs Anti-Sleep Audio, so he's a recording engineer and producer. He's worked with Yatwa, which is a band that we discovered on this show and is fucking amazing.
Yep.
Thrice, Ghoul, who is also an Oakland band.
Yep.
Disastroid, who are good friends of ours.
Indeed.
He has done some of the live recordings for Old Man Gloom, who Santos was on the show.
Worship.
Worship. So, I mean, Josh was on the show.
Yeah, yeah. So.
And yeah, and they put out their most recent album called Piecework back in 2021 on Neurot Records.
Hey, watch your plosives there, buddy.
Oh, sorry. Am I getting hot?
You're popping.
Yeah. And then Kowloon is also going on a short West Coast tour with Metz. Metz is touring on their, it's like 10-year anniversary of one of their big albums.
Awesome.
So it's amazing. But without further ado.
I'm going to play him in?
Yeah. Let's play this guy in. Let's do this.
There we are, rotation again.
Hello, hello.
Hey, am I
How
here?
How is it going? Welcome, Scott.
Hey, hi.
So what's this? Describe the room that you're in right now. Is this like your studio? Is this space in your house?
No, this is my studio. I rent a space. I've been here for 8 or 9 or 10 years in Oakland, downtown Oakland, or near downtown Oakland, and it's two small rooms, probably, I can't remember, maybe 200 square feet total, 300. It's small, like two 10 by 15 rooms. One is a control room. That's what, you know, I've got my phone propped on two rolls of gaff tape on my mixer. And there's a lot of outboard and guitar pedals and stuff in here. And then the other room is like a little live room. It's got 10,000 amps in it. And now there's a piano in there and, you know, a bunch of mics and stuff like that. And then down the hall, I'm pointing for people who are not watching.
That way.
Down the hall is Sharkbite Studios, where there's a nice big proper live room, real big console, three nice ISO rooms. And that's where I do a lot of, I guess all of the Bay Area recording that I've done pretty much has been in the last, whatever, 10 years has been there.
Nice.
You know, if I'm tracking a whole band, and then we'll come down here to do overdubs often.
Gotcha.
I have spent time in that room.
In Sharkbite?
Recorded an album
Recorded
there.
A record there.
Who was engineering, do you remember?
Billy Anderson.
Never heard of him.
Never
heard of him. Just some guy.
He was here a week or two ago. Actually, Ryan is the guy who owns Sharkbite. Just a month ago, bought a new console, which is a really big deal. It's a huge investment, and getting it commissioned—that's the fancy word for installed—was crazy. Really, getting the old one decommissioned was crazy. And Billy came down to do one of the first sessions on it.
Oh wow! Oh, nice. So the old one's gone, huh?
It is. It was a
distort everything.
Was that on there when you were there?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's me. There. That's funny.
That was yours.
I made those. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
People don't know that there used to be one on Kurt Ballou's monitor.
Oh, really?
And everyone thought it was a Kurt thing, and he's like, "I just put the sticker on here. I didn't make this." Yeah, that console that you recorded on was a 1978 Trident TSM, and it was beautiful, right? Like, just to look at it, it was beautiful, but finicky. I don't know if you guys had any problems, like, oh, the left overhead didn't record on that take or things like that. But
yeah, there was a lot of Billy, like, slapping things and wiggling
stuff.
Yeah,
no, but I mean, like, problems with the equipment, not problems with Billy.
We lucked out. We lucked out. We didn't have any major issues, but it definitely seemed like it was getting close to the end.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, people keep old consoles running for eternity, but it's a big project. It's like keeping an old car running. It's not, you know, if you're going to use it every day and it needs to be reliable, you really need a full-time tech who's devoted to that thing. And in this case, there's not that many of those consoles even around, so there's not really a community around working on them. And Ryan just doesn't have the time or the bandwidth to be putting into it. So we had years of discussions about this. And in the end, it was just sort of like, love this thing, means a lot. Like, a lot of records have been made on it. Here's the crazy part, actually. Getting it out, that thing was like 12 feet wide. I'm sure you remember, it's huge,
yes,
right?
It's gigantic.
Yeah, and Ryan actually confirmed this via Billy, because he's worked at Sharkbite for forever, since before Ryan even bought the business.
Yeah.
They put that console in place, wrapped it in plastic, and then built the room around it. So there's no getting it out.
There's no room. Wow. So what you happened to it? Is it just...
Took it apart.
Wow.
Selling it for parts.
Oh, man.
Wow. Yep. Yeah, I mean, the legends of that console. And when you're with Billy, it's like I never know exactly what or how much to believe. But certainly he loves to tell the story of all the things that console has seen.
Yeah, I don't know if all of those are true, but
yeah, healthy amount of skepticism for sure.
But I mean, you know, many records have definitely been made on that, like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of records, and some of them good have been made on that console.
There's been some great records made on that console.
I mean,
sure.
even just if you only count its lifetime at Sharkbite, an incredible legacy, and most of those we can verify.
Yeah, and the probably the most noteworthy record I can think of in the last 5 years that was made on it was the most recent Sleep record.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Which they barely talked about. Like, they didn't really mention that they did it at Sharkbite or whatever. They were just very sort of quiet about it. But yeah, it was so loud. Like, working down the hall, it was like, God damn.
I know. I was just completely at random when they were tracking it. I was at their studio space with Jeff, looking at his cabinets, and he got a call that they needed a bunch of intonation work done. I didn't realize he was their tech, but apparently he was, at least for the tracking of that record. Tracking. So he booked it over to Sharkbite to intonate everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and there was one, I know they posted one picture of just a big bowl of weed or something, like right on the board. And that was, that was like kind of the only reference anyone saw that it was happening at Sharkbite.
Interesting.
Yep. Sharkbite is a funny studio. It is a really great sounding room. It's super chill and comfortable. The rate is really good. But very few people know it's there. And Ryan, the guy who owns it, just is sort of like, he loathes promotion, you know, and marketing and social media. So he's just very quiet about it. And in a way, that's good because it's pretty easy for me to book time there, you know, relative if the place was really super busy. But I was like, man, could probably, you know, mention that Sleep did their record here or something. Yeah. But, you know, nope, just totally quiet.
Yep. I'm good.
Well, and Billy's honestly kind of the same. It's like you ask him for his rate and you're like, huh, really? Oh, okay. I can afford that.
Really?
$10 a day? I mean, I'll do 15.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it was a shockingly affordable place to track. Like I was really impressed. Maybe we shouldn't talk about it too much so that Ryan doesn't.
It's like I want it to stay in business, but also the well-kept secret thing is kind of like,
it's nice.
Well, and it even
works in our favor a little bit.
It comes down to the aesthetics too. There's no sign. It's just this brick wall of a building, and there's just doors, and you just have to know which door it is.
That's actually pretty common with studios, I've found, because no one wants anyone to know that, like, hey,
Hank,
there's a band here.
Yeah,
there's like $100,000 of microphones in here.
That too.
Yeah,
by the way, for the listeners, there is not
$100,000
of microphones here. No. There's not.
There is the coolest microphone storage and organization system in the world.
Oh, the library card catalog.
Yeah, it's like they're all in library card catalog cabinet.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
I walked in, I was like, that's a perfect way to store microphones.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, 10 or 15 years ago when I started working here, I was like, fuck, this is brilliant. I want this. And they were, you could find them occasionally then, but now they're pretty unobtainium. They've become very, you know, vintage and expensive.
Wow.
Did we just Avatar?
Yeah.
They're unobtainium?
Unobtainium.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get technical with you guys.
That's the bullshit metal they made up for that stupid movie, right?
Is it?
I think it's called unobtainium.
I think it is, actually. It is. So you've been there for a decade plus.
I think a decade.
Are you an Oakland native?
No. I grew up in New York and lived in outside D.C. I went to college in Virginia. Lived outside D.C. for 10 years, met my wife, and then moved to the Bay Area in 2005, I think.
Oh, okay. So
I've been here for a while, but definitely far from a born and raised.
Gotcha. So what brought you to the Bay Area? Was your wife from here?
No, she is from the D.C. area. Let's see. I don't know if it's interesting or not, but here's what happened is that my day job is being a programmer. For basically my whole young life, I always sort of like romanticized living in the Bay Area. We're all like the
Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where software, you know, lots of software was invented and where, what I always said was where software that real people used got written.
Yeah.
I graduated college and went to work in around DC, and all the jobs were somehow government related. It's just, you know, that's the industry there. And so basically what that means is that you're doing some kind of enterprise, like big corporate software, which doesn't interest me at all. Like, it's the same problems really, but just the end result, it doesn't, you know, it's sort of like if you were working on audio for television commercials or something like that. Like, that is audio. There are real problems, but I just don't have any interest in the result. You know, I've got
I totally get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what happened was, I just kept, you know, wanting to move and never doing it. For a while I was in this apartment. I kept renewing my lease in 6 month increments. Like, I'm going to move to San Francisco, and I never did it. Then we got married and we had our first son. And when he was like 2 days old, I was walking around the house talking to him. And basically what I realized I was saying was like, find something you really want to do with your life. You know, don't end up like unhappy just working for the man. Like, who am I talking to here? You know? And so I said to my wife, I was like, what if we just, you know, move to San Francisco? Like, and she grew up around D.C. She wanted the fuck out of there. She's like, let's go. So we did it. We moved with like a 2 month old. It was crazy. Wow. But the absolute best life decision, I would say, besides getting married, that I've ever made. Definitely for our family, in all ways. I just wish that we had done it sooner. Great for my music life. Great. I did end up, you know, doing coding applications that people actually use, which was nice. And
that's great.
Met a million amazing bands and started playing good shows. And I don't know, like, just that was a good decision.
Yeah, absolutely. And a very interesting story. And JD and I can both confess to being part of the Silicon Valley machine too. So you're not.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. You're not the only one.
This isn't our day job.
No. Just keep at it, guys. Like, there's a lot of money in podcasting.
A lot of money in podcasting underground metal.
If you're Conan O'Brien, sure.
Does Conan O'Brien have a metal podcast?
Yeah, he could, and it would then all other metal podcasts would be irrelevant, and all the money would disappear.
Exactly. Metal podcasts are irrelevant.
Yeah. 100%.
Anyway, I quit my day job finally a couple years ago to record full time. I was busy enough that doing both at once became impossible, just and having a family. So then COVID happened and I went back to working a couple days a week coding, and now I'm kind of doing both, but I pretty much consider myself a full time engineer.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. Good. Yeah, that's totally. So were you in bands before you moved here?
I was a little bit, but I nothing really sort of worth talking about. Most of what I was doing was holed up in a home studio, you know, trying to back then, this was what, mid-90s, I think. Like, studios still seemed special and magic, you know, and recording was like this. It had not yet really exactly been democratized, as they say.
Yeah, right.
And I mistakenly thought that, you know, if I had a studio and was able to do decent work, that bands would start recording with me. You know, they would just show up. And that was just so, so misguided and wrong. And I wish if there's one thing I could do, it would be to travel back in time and tell myself, like, just go tour a lot. Just play a lot of shows.
Yep.
You know, that's how you end up knowing good bands and people who want to record. So a lot of the stuff that I was doing back then was with friends or solo stuff, which a lot of it amounted to like stretching my legs in the studio and just trying to get, you know, as comfortable as I could making stuff sound good.
Uh-oh. All right, we got Zoom issues.
Are we getting Zoom
back?
I can still hear you guys. Oh, you're moving.
No, we're just... Okay, the video is just a little glitchy.
Bad. He's back. Luckily, your audio will be clean.
Yes,
yeah, exactly. That's a familiar story. Actually. Yeah, that was kind of Andy Patterson's story, too. Andy was just like, I was in every band. I was touring like crazy at some point, and I wanted to record, and at some point, it just like I knew enough people and had enough gear.
That got a computer and a program to do it.
Yep.
If you want to record a lot, the whole trick is clients. Like, that's it. And you don't need, they don't all need to be sleep. You know, you just need lots of bands that are down to record with you. And a good way to do that is to know a lot of bands.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely.
It doesn't matter.
You have recorded a lot of bands.
I'm living proof. It doesn't matter if you're good at your job, folks. You just got to know a lot of people.
You just got to do it and know people.
Just have at it. Yeah. So, I mean, looking down that list of people that you have, you know, engineered or mixed, like Josh from Worship has done the show, and we know Josh. Disastroid are good friends, played with them a million times. Santos did an episode from Old Man Gloom. What else? You had a whole list.
A whole list.
But I mean, it's like tons of
the overlap.
Yeah.
The overlap. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So how did you? Let's like jump in the Wayback Machine. I would love to know how you even got involved in music. Like, what made you decide, oh, this is for me? Like, did you grow up in a musical family?
I did, and I grew up in a family where there was always music playing. My mom and my dad both loved music, constant, you know, like sort of old country and, you know, Linda Ronstadt and Emmylou Harris, stuff like that from my mom, and a lot of 50s and 60s oldies from my dad. My brother and I were absolutely obsessed with music from the time we were, you know, in third or fourth grade, like, you know, nonstop Black Sabbath and Kiss and whatever And I always thought that I was presented like posters of Iron Maiden playing to 50,000 people.
Yeah.
So I always thought that music was like, it was like Hollywood, you know, it was like this thing that like
untouchable,
not real people
unattainable.
Did.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And, a dude down the street from me got a bass and was working on being a bass player. And I went over to his house one day and he was playing like Iron Maiden songs. And I was like, wait, this sounds just like what's on those albums. Like, I can just do this. I had no idea. And I got a bass and started playing bass. And basically, like, that was it. I got a 4-track a year after that. And I think I liked recording as much as I liked playing. And that's still true. And, you know, was just from then on, that's what I did with all my time. I practiced bass and I recorded dumb shit with my friends. And that has continued to this day pretty much.
Then that's still what you do.
Just a more highly advanced dumb shit.
You're just, yeah, like, well,
well,
is it? I don't know, you know.
Is it? It looks more complicated.
My mic is going to be thumpy, sorry.
We probably had the exact same four track. I think we're probably in roughly the same age range, and we all
were.
Went
you
out.
A Tascam or a Fostex?
I was a Tascam boy.
Oh, you fancy? Okay, yeah, I was
you
a
fancy.
Yeah. We were in the Bay Area.
Oh yeah, I just borrowed a friend's Tascam to do some dumb like, ooh, I'm gonna run it to tape stuff, and man, they're really nice. Just well built. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah, mine still. I still have mine somewhere,
still have it?
Packed away in storage. Yeah,
oh, wow.
I busted it out when my nephews were young, before I had kids, and just to record like good audio of them when they first started talking.
Yeah,
that was the last thing I did with it.
Oh wow, interesting.
Yeah, utterly useless compared to like an iPad now. But
unbelievable how much easier and better things are now. It's pretty incredible. And I crack up when people are like, "We're gonna do it, you know, on tape." Or it's like, just fucking use the tools that we have. They're great.
They're good. They're good. They're designed with care. Yeah, I do miss having more limitations. I think that's great.
Yeah,
and, you know, and basically infinite time available and, you know, a bunch of limitations, but plenty of time to work around them. And now it's kind of the opposite. Like, some people are paying for my time. So the last thing we want to do is be like, oh, these limitations feel so good.
Yeah.
That's not a good pitch.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to take a little longer.
Yeah.
But I've been thinking about it a lot. Like, there were a number of periods in my life where I had a very small amount of gear that I used like crazy. And I just knew it so, so, so well.
Yeah.
And that was really, it's just the best feeling, like to know a piece of gear in and out. So it's like an extension of you. And I've been thinking about how I can get back to that for some creative stuff and mixing stuff. Because it's, you know, it's just easy to keep obtaining stuff over time. And then you don't know any of it that well. And it's, mm-hmm. it's just not the same.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, like, getting back into it, into like the, because I didn't record anything after that, so I'd never touched modern studio gear of any sort.
Smart.
Other than being in a band and going and recording, but like just totally hands off. But when we decided to do this, it was like, all right, I guess I'm going to buy an interface now, and I guess I'm going to figure out whatever fucking DAW I want. And just going into the online stores that sell all the different plugins, it's baffling to me how anyone could choose anything and learn how to use it, because there's this infinite plugins. It's unbelievable.
What does this do? Yeah, what does this do?
this makes one sound. Yeah. It's like crazy. It would be paralyzing to me. I wouldn't. It's like video games now. I love playing video games, but there are so many great video games that I don't play any of them, because it's just like I can't even pick one to start with. It's overwhelming.
Yeah, I miss having a sampler. I did a lot of stuff with samplers back in the day, and I've been thinking about trying to. Just reading about this Electron Octatrack, I think it's called, which a lot of people think is a really great, like, performance-based sampler. So, you know, very creative and fast. And trying to be real with myself and say, like, okay, are you going to go deep with this? Are you going to spend, you know, 3 hours a day with this thing? Are you? No, you're not. You know, like, you're probably not.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
And then why do it? You know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that story of how you got started, I think, is how, at least in our generation, how it was for a lot of people. I went over to my friend Paul's house, and I had met him recently, And he just had a guitar and he played, and he played like fucking Stevie Ray Vaughan. And I'm like, you're 14. Like, how did you do that? He's like, well, I just play every day. I was like, really? So then I was like, well, I always wanted to be Geddy Lee, but I didn't think I could. But apparently you can just be that if you want to.
So I just try, at least.
So I just hung out at Paul's house and played bass while he played guitar. And it was like such an interesting revelation. I wonder.
It's the time.
Are there fewer people who are like, are learning real instruments? Like, is it less common to walk into somebody's house and have a guitar?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think it has ebbed and flowed. I have teenage kids, so I get to watch a lot of this. And my kids have a bunch of friends who are in punk bands and who play guitar and stuff. Surprisingly, they don't have a lot of friends who are like rap producers or just straight up rappers or anything like that. Or bedroom type, you know, beats like, you know, mm-hmm. pop music kind of stuff. I would expect more of that. But it seems like it sort of ebbs and flows. And I feel like, you know, you can with a laptop and a couple, you know, like one little device and whatever, you can make so much cool shit if you're willing to sit there and do the work. And I do think people are doing that. I mean, guitar music, a lot of it seems pretty antique now.
Yeah.
So it's refreshing to see the occasional player who is doing something new with it, and it's not just like fucking Stevie Ray Vaughan. Like,
don't get me started on my latest rabbit hole. Speaking of guitar players doing interesting things,
give me like the 10-second elevator pitch.
Just Polyphia, and you on YouTube. Have you ever? Do you know? Have you heard?
I mean, yeah,
that Tim Henson, that whole world. I just. It's like breaking my brain watching like how simple what they're doing is and also how not simple it is. And just like the language that he uses to describe his process and what his influences are, like how he pulls from trap and hip hop and R&B, and he like steals stuff. One whole song is a Taylor Swift song that he hated. So he like deconstructed it and built his own song out of it. It's like,
oh, interesting.
Yeah. It's like, he's a fascinating dude, but then he's also like, every K-pop and J-pop star that my teenage kids love. He's just like, this is like the outside is one thing and the inside is completely different. And then on top of it, he's just like this monster player.
I think that I love the fact that, you know, my kids can be like, we're going to listen to like Denzel Curry, and then we're going to listen to Mannequin Pussy, and then we're going to listen to like, you know, the Harris Collective, and it's just like back and forth between like gnarly punk and some super glossy, you know, like pop rap, and then like sort of like mumbly SoundCloud rap, and just all of it. Just, and you know, if you do that and you grow up and play guitar or whatever, it's all in there, and it's very different than when, you know, your definition was like, I am a punk when you know, whatever ridiculous thing happened in the 70s or 80s or 90s.
Yeah, for sure. And so just to have someone, because it's like the first time I ever saw a video, I was just like, I hate this. I have to hate this. Like, it is natural for me to hate everything about this, but I don't hate it. And now my 15-year-old is like obsessed with him and with Polyphia, is like wants to buy records and wants to go see them play and wants to just watch videos of him playing.
No, don't watch videos, kid. Fucking go practice a guitar.
Yeah. We went through that with her. She went through a drum phase that she's currently out of now. So we'll see. I'll let her find it again.
Tell her to get back in the shed. Let's go. Woodshed. Not the shed. I mean the woodshed.
Yeah. It's the garage.
Get
the
back
garage.
In the shed.
Get in the garage, kid.
Get in the garage, kid.
And then I have an older daughter who's a sophomore in college, and like every week it's like, I'm at a house show Wednesday night, Saturday afternoon, I'm at a house show. Like, she's up in Eugene, so apparently there's a pretty thriving scene up there.
Ah, that's sick.
Yeah, so it's like, makes me happy. Like, and she knows it does, so she's like happy to send me texts or let me listen. She's like sending me links to bands and stuff.
It's great. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think that it is really cool when you and your kids get into music, and they get into sort of their, and they start having their own tastes, and then they share it with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, oh,
and they're a little nervous.
I
think mine were nervous to share it with me, because when your dad's like into music,
your dad's like a judgy asshole.
Yeah, correct. Exactly.
That was the words inside. I wasn't going to let them out, but no. Well, and I tried not to push anything on them and to just be open and let them, you know, I took the older one to see the Jonas Brothers and Katy Perry and all of that shit and tried to appreciate what was good about it. And just the fact that she wanted to go see music was enough for me.
Yeah.
But I judged the shit out of some of the crap that they listened to. Some of it's just miserable.
Yeah, exactly. Do you take your kids to shows? Do you guys do shows together?
We've been to a bunch of shows together. They're both old enough that they can do shows themselves now if they want to, and I think they prefer to.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, three years ago, whatever it was, I splurged and I bought the whole fucking family Iron Maiden tickets. And it was nice. More money than I've ever spent on a concert. And I was like, listen, I don't care about going on vacation, and I will probably never take you on a vacation, but I'm taking the family to see this. Like, you will remember this. But yeah, we've been to lots of small, you know, gnarly punk shows and stuff like that too.
That's great.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I feel like a Maiden show is one that you don't forget.
Yeah, probably like, not.
Just that stage. I mean,
they were like, God. Dad, I've never seen you this happy. Yeah, that's probably true.
Oh, that's too funny.
I swear I was the day you were born. I swear.
Promise. No, we went and saw King Gizzard at the Greek a couple weeks ago. And my daughter wanted to fly home from Eugene to come to the show and was mad that she couldn't come. So.
Yeah, that was an incredible show.
It was. I walked in there going, because they played three shows where they were playing 3-hour sets. And I was like, really? Like, I'm not sure anyone.
Not sure how many bands I could actually sit through.
But it fucking flew by. And it kept me pretty much the whole time.
Those people are Martians.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Like, 100%.
Yeah. Absolutely crazy. Like, just generating so much good music, and they can legit, go tour on it. It's like they're just making it up in the studio and forgetting about it. It's wild. It is.
So they open with The Dripping Tap. That record came out in like March or April.
Yeah.
That song is like 18 minutes long. That's the first song they played. The crowd knew every word and every note of an 18-minute long song. Like, who can fucking open a show with an 18-minute long? And it was like a Berkeley crowd. It was like young people, old people.
Not only that, but like that's one of like four records that they released in like a 6-month window. There.
Yeah, correct. Exactly.
Yeah, there's a different kind of fandom there. It was really interesting to see. And like
I'm proud of myself if I wrote a riff. You know, like.
Ooh, this is a really great riff.
What did they say? They
riff a quarter.
And isn't there still one more? I thought they said there were five records coming out this year. So they dropped one and then three at the same time. I think there's one more still coming.
Yeah, it's funny with that because when bands do that, you know, like the Melvins kind of did that for a while. And I'm like, you know, at some point it becomes hard to take this seriously. Like, because, you know, you're just like, you're not supposed to generate this much material this fast. Like, it seems like it would belie like a lack of editorial decision making or something.
Yeah, just record it.
The shit is good
that you make.
Yeah, no, it's good.
It is good.
Yeah, the shit is good.
It's good. I mean, I'll pull it out now.
What was the last great show you went to?
Oh God, don't ask me that.
Oh,
I just can't remember anything anymore.
Or has it been that long?
No, I've been to a bunch of shows, but I can't remember any of them. Next question.
All right, next question.
We went to the Mars Volta on Tuesday.
That was incredible.
That was pretty great.
That was so good.
That sounds good.
And that was fun, but that's just the most recent. I mean, that's the last two shows that we went to. That's not a bad one too, right there.
No, that's not a bad one too.
I love a small show. I'm usually shy away from shows that size, but
we're usually at dive bars.
But that was a good time, both of them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you guys are going.
I don't even know how I would remember what shows I've been to in the last year. I can't remember shit. I can tell you what snare mic I used on a record 4 years ago, but I can't tell you like what show I went to last week.
That's funny.
Sucks.
Level of importance in your mind.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we haven't gone to a ton, but we did go to Psycho.
We did go to Psycho this year.
So that's like 100.
Yes. That's like 100 shows in one.
Yeah, 100 shows in one. I do have trouble pulling what I saw there.
It was all a blur.
Who did we see?
Exactly.
It was a blur.
Yep. And you guys are going on tour in December, right? You're doing like a West Coast run with Mets?
We're doing a short tour. Well, it's a long tour drive-wise, but five shows with Mets, yeah. That's why my voice sounds like this. We just practiced this morning.
Ah, gotcha.
Oh, boy. Ooh, morning practice?
Yeah, it's easier than trying to get... Everyone's super busy during the week, so just it's easier to just grab like a before everyone's weekend is used up thing.
Just get it out of the way early on a Saturday.
Yeah, totally.
Have the whole weekend ahead of you. Yeah, totally.
Yep.
Completely. That's great. Nice.
But yeah, we're driving, I think, 3,000 miles to play five shows. It should be great.
The West Coast.
You know what? We don't tour much, and we certainly haven't toured much in the last little while, and we really like hanging out with each other. We like each other, and I think the longer that we've been in this band, the more we've come to appreciate, certainly speaking for myself, the more I've come to appreciate being surrounded by these people and and spending time with them. So to me, the idea of sitting in a van with them for, you know, 10-hour drives, it sounds great. Like, I wouldn't want to do it for 3 months straight, but it's a chance to, you know, just sit and hang out with people I really like and not have much else to do. You know, you're not going to run off and, you know, oh, I got to go do this or whatever. And in a way for, you know, a couple weeks kind of thing, absolutely love it.
Yeah.
No problem at all.
Anytime I think of like planning a tour now, it's always like, all right, who do I want to hang out? Like,
who
haven't I seen in a while that would be fun to like spend a few days with if you're going to do a little like 3 to 5 day, you know, short thing. And and then it's like, okay, what kind of band should we be playing with or what venues are we going to play with? No, it's first it's like, who do I miss?
Yeah.
I'm trying to decide if I actually miss these guys.
Have you toured with them in the past?
Who? The other guys in my band?
No. Yeah. Yeah. Have you toured with your band before? Are they?
No.
Yeah.
You meant Mets.
No, I meant Mets.
No, have not.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. We are intending to just blow them right off the stage with energy, though. Let me tell you.
Oh, good. Yeah,
hell
just
yeah.
Ruin their night.
Just ruin their night.
Every single night.
Yeah. There's a thing that's not possible. Like, we were just talking about that. It's like, listen, you got to bring a different kind of energy to this because you're going to fucking get steamrolled every time those guys go on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny. Oh, shit, I was going to ask something, and I don't remember what it was.
Because we're old.
We're old.
We don't remember now.
Goddamn memory
issues. You got COVID fog.
Yeah, this is true.
JD finally caught it after 2.5 years.
You have
years.
It right now?
No. The day we got back from Psycho, he tested positive.
Yeah.
Oh.
Shocker.
Shocker. How'd you get COVID?
Yeah. Yeah. It was Drain, man. I'm telling you. It was that Drain show.
I think it was Ian.
It could have been Ian. That's true.
Yeah, a week later, Ian Watts, who's a tour booker, is like, hey, I just got over COVID. And we had spent like 2 days in a row hanging out with him and talking to him face to face for, you know, 45
minutes.
Yeah,
that's good.
45
yeah.
minutes.
Thanks, Ian.
Okay.
I'm guessing there wasn't a mask in sight at Psycho.
At Psycho? No.
No.
No, actually, no.
There were some.
No, I was just on a work trip in Amsterdam. There was a place where there wasn't a mask in sight, not even a hint of a mask anywhere. It was pretty insane. So it's like,
yeah, I don't know if this is interesting to talk about, but it is definitely something I've given a lot of thought to and, you know, thinking about as far as touring and stuff goes. I know that America is over it or whatever, and we're all just going to go to shows without masks and stuff. We did a tour, like, I don't know, 2 weeks, 10 days or something like that, earlier this year with Rid of Me on the East Coast, and every show is supposed to be proof of vax and mask required. And we get there, and, you know, half the venues or the promoters are like, you know, we're like, we said that, but we were not really, you know. And I was like, fuck you, you know, we are not getting sick. We worked really hard to book this thing.
Yeah.
We are not canceling our tour midway through, like, you know. And so we would announce from stage, like, if you don't have a mask on, you know, put it on. And if you don't have one, we got them at the merch table. Go get one and put it on.
Yeah.
And pretty much, you know, like 99.5% of people in the crowd every time.
Yeah.
Masked up.
Nice.
It was great.
That's great.
Did get through and didn't get sick.
You didn't have to cancel any dates?
No.
Yeah, that's
good. You know, we were all sure that it was like, how many shows are we going to get to do?
Yep.
Which is a shitty way to think. You know, you bought all this merch to, you know, like, and yep. you planned all this stuff. And, you know, there's people who work at venues who are counting on the money. And I don't know. It's just like a lot of precarious stuff that is, I don't know, it's kind of dear to us. It doesn't happen that often.
Yeah.
You know, we were playing cities that we'd never played before, or cities that we hadn't played in a long time. We were going to do two nights at Vitus. One of them was like a anniversary show for our Container Ships record. Like, this all was all stuff we really wanted to do. And so, you know, to have a promoter be like, yeah, you know, I'm trying to run a business here. It's like, man, get fucked. You know, I'm trying to not get sick here. Like, just everyone mask up. And
yeah,
the truth was, people were super great about it when you explained it and asked, like, no problem. But I think that window, that time is gone.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're all just going to get sick, and mm-hmm. we're all going to hope that long COVID doesn't happen to us. And that's what we're going to do.
Seriously.
Yeah. I wasn't really curious which direction this was going to go, but I was really hoping it wasn't the wino direction.
Yeah.
No, that's not me. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, that the long COVID stuff is like, I think that's going to be the fucker of all of this, is when we're talking about like systemic inflammation, autoimmune triggers and shit like that. It's not good.
It's not good. All you don't want that.
Bad.
Yeah. All of that's, you don't want bad. It.
So
yeah,
I still have never had it, to my knowledge.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So
you got it.
One of the few.
I'm giving it to you right now.
Thank you.
Zoom.
Yeah.
Excellent. Looking right. forward to it.
I don't want to talk about COVID anymore.
No, good. Let's We're not. Done. This is done. This is done. Yeah.
We should listen to music.
Let's listen to music, though. So I think we did explain this in the email, but the way this works is bands send us music. So we don't listen to it. We don't listen to bands we've heard of before. So
we don't listen to bands.
We don't listen to bands.
We don't listen to bands.
We're gonna mute the audio and press play.
Mute the audio.
It's gonna be cool. And then you're gonna react.
Yeah, and then you're gonna react. So
okay, I'll just say in advance that I used to think it was fun and cool to like dunk on bands. I, you know,
we don't do that.
Yeah.
And or dunk on my friend's taste, that kind of thing. And I think having kids finally cured me of that.
Yep.
Like, yeah. You know, it really is like just taking a dump in someone's lap. It's like, you know what? This person likes this thing. Like, or this person worked on this thing.
Yeah.
And also everything I do is terrible and someone probably would laugh at it too and I would feel bad. So I'm going to try and keep it posy here, folks.
You know, completely. And that is pretty much what we do.
Yeah. Occasionally, we'll have a filterless guest. But our position is like, it's not for me.
It's not for me.
But
we don't nitpick the production. Try not to.
I'm going to nitpick the production.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You are hearing it over Zoom. I will.
Although, fucking, you know, snare sounds like shit.
Yeah. We have had bands on that have reached out afterwards and said, you know, I really appreciated that feedback about the production of this part or this part, you know, and I think it's good to hear that. So,
and I shit on something. And then it ended up being like my favorite record of the year last year. And then we became really good friends with the guy who writes and records the music. But, you know,
that's awkward.
He hits the first bass note. And I was like, Jesus, intonate your bass, please.
And now you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, by the time we got to the end of the song, I was like, oh, OK, I get it. Like,
that was on purpose.
That was this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
So,
no. Yeah. All right. So this first band is called
let me pull it up.
Taking Balfour. And this album just came out this week. They are a band from Guelph, Ontario. So
Guelph.
Tell me when you're ready, Jeff.
Yeah.
Tell me when you're ready.
Taking Balfour. Are they talking about Eddie the Eagle Balfour, the legendary NHL goalie who did he play for the Blackhawks?
As Canadians.
Well, they are Canadians,
That's what I'm saying.
They may be.
How do you know that?
Because that was a period of time when I was going to a ton of Sharks games.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, wow.
When I had the good fortune of working at a company that had season tickets.
Okay.
For clients, but I would sneak them in.
Wait, scroll down.
All right. Taking Balfour, song.
Wait, no. Scroll down. Okay, listen. First thing, dear Taking Balfour, you got to put credits on your Bandcamp page.
Yeah. For
You got to say who recorded this and who did the cover art and who mastered it. You got to do that.
All right.
Absolutely.
Every band has to do that. You have to do that.
And even if it was you, please acknowledge acknowledge your own
there
work.
There are people. There's two things. A, people like me just want to fucking know because we are nerds. We love that stuff. And it's part of the story of a record. Like, where was it recorded? How was it something? Tell me something. And two, if it's someone who isn't you, like, those people get more work from that. So that's cool, too.
Yeah, and Ryan from Pound gave us a really good piece of feedback once, and he said when you're setting up your merch table, like just carry around little stickers that have the Instagram handles of the artists who do
art
for your shirts, and stick them on each shirt so that the people can go, oh, that's a cool shirt. I wonder what else that person does.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
Use them to do shirts.
That was a great idea. Okay, song is called Neptune, Taking Balfour. So first minute impressions.
Do I have to talk now, or are you guys gonna?
I can start
either way.
It's not for me, but
yeah,
there's a fucking song. Oh, it's reminding me of a System of a Down song.
Oh, really?
Waterfall.
Really?
Life is a waterfall. Oh. Like,
well, definitely not the singer though.
Just like some elements, some beats from the song are reminding me of it.
Yeah,
I just couldn't pull the name of the song. It was driving me nuts.
Oh, interesting.
But no,
strong like '90s. Prog power metal vibe, like you guys Crimson Glory. That's who that sounds like to me.
Crimson Glory,
that's right, bitches. Crimson Glory sounded like a indie Queensryche, I guess. Kind
there
of.
There you go.
Interesting.
It's actually possible that the dude from Crimson Glory is singing for Queensryche now. I don't know. Anyway, it was, you know, that kind of like high vocals, like epic metal kind of thing.
Yeah.
This sounds totally like solid and competent to me. One thing that's interesting about it is I think if it was 1992 or one or whatever, I would have been really taken with the way this sounds. But to hear it now, it sounds a little too squeaky clean for me.
Yeah.
Like I understand that that's sort of a genre thing. What does it say down there? It says
progressive rock.
Alternative progressive rock.
And new metal? I don't know. But I have really gravitated to, I think, sort of less polished production and less like drum triggers and that kind of thing. Like I'd like to hear, if everyone can play, I'd like to hear, you know, I like stuff that sounds a little more raw.
Yeah. I think we're all on that page.
Yeah, but it's tricky with music like this that it's sort of like it is the songwriting, the arrangement itself is pretty glossy.
Yeah. Is there going to be a bass drop somewhere? I feel like there's going to be one of those boom, like in the middle of the song somewhere.
I'm not hearing that.
No?
But,
oh, okay.
No, man, there's not going to be a bass drop. No.
Well, there's a lot of times there's a lot of like these progressive metal bands that are throwing in like these weird like whooshing bass drops in the middle of their songs.
Yeah,
it's the movie trailer womb. Is that the one?
Yeah.
You know, it's...
So I think these guys are probably not in the camp of like racks of gear playing to tracks, like six guitars on stage when there's only two guys playing guitar. And that's where you'll hear like that sub stuff added
that's
in
true.
And some drops and shit like that. This like is a little bit more throwback to me, it sounds like.
All right. I'm gonna scoot it forward just a minute. I'm gonna go to like
halfway
through.
Where's the guitar solo?
Is there some shredding or what?
Yeah, it's 4 minutes and 7 seconds long. Where's the guitar solo?
Oh, props to that too. Like songs like this could often be 7 minutes long, and that the truth is we don't need that.
No.
It's 240.
240. What do you think, Scott?
What we're guessing for where the solo is?
Yeah, we're guessing the solo.
Where the solo starts, yeah.
This is I'm hoping sort of the solo is from like 1:30 to 4:10. That's my...
I'm with that, actually.
All right.
I used to always say that, like, I'm like, I don't even like guitar solos, but, and my friend Shane, and who's in the band Great Falls, was like, listen, dude, you do like guitar solos. And I was like, oh, you know what? I think I do. I think I actually do like guitar solos. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I love
I'm in your camp.
He hates
it. Yeah, I'm like, just, I don't know. No,
no, I want to, like, aesthetically, I want to be a person who does not like, you know, like, I want to be like a Chicago noise rock person. I'm like, I don't like guitar solos. But then, like, I put on Hangar 18 and I'm like, fuck yeah, solo number 12 coming up, you know. Like.
Yeah. I'll play you the guitar solo that will change your mind.
All right. Will you?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Oh, a challenge.
Ooh. Okay, 240.
All right.
That's what
they called it on the chart when they were writing the song.
The tool part.
On the whiteboard.
Yeah. With China.
Yes.
The stank face part. All right, well... It wasn't a solo. It was a passage.
Yeah,
it was a bridge.
It was a bridge. Was there a point,
dude? In 1991, I would have eaten this up. I absolutely.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I would have been over this.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think I have, just by virtue of being old and having sort of been through music like this at a really important to me at one point in my life. I'm just on a different thing these days.
In 1991, all I cared about was Mr. Bungle, and I probably would have made fun of this pretty rudely.
Mr. Bungle was probably part of what was rewiring my brain from, you know, like the Crimson Glory stuff in the late 80s to, like, you know.
Where you are now.
Just, yeah.
I was actively being rewritten. I mean, that's how I have described it. That's how
being
I've
rewritten.
Described it, literally, is like it, like what I thought about music before and then what I thought about after were two very different things.
At one point in time I would have been so into this would have been my jam, especially that breakdown part at the end there.
Well, you know, we're so fucking old that this is like, this is back because it's cool in a retro way.
Yeah,
I mean, there's like 19 year old kids starting bands like this because, you know, 25 years ago somebody else was doing it.
Exactly.
I guess so. I mean, I don't have anything interesting to say. I really try to avoid talking about being old, I guess. Like, you know, I just feel like music is very much now, and what happened in the past is not interesting.
Yeah.
I just, it is interesting to see how people, like, it takes the collective memory to forget a thing and then to rediscover it. And there's some period of time where things go dormant and we don't hear or see about them. And then I think to young people, they find these things that they think of as new discoveries.
And yeah, go, I mean, you describe that bridge as like the Tool bridge, but I, you know, to me that is, it's like the Fates Warning bridge or, you know, something like something that preceded Tool.
Probably.
You know, something like, not, my friend used to call Tool Mall Prog.
Mall Prog.
And, you know, whatever they were kind of like lifting from or what turned into, you know, but Tool, I guess, maybe is the biggest, most popular example of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there a point there? It feels And if you can't tell, Jeff is the musician. I'm the music lover. There, it sounded like there was a part where he was hitting every string twice as he was playing.
It's just there were just
was that like a delay?
Some delays.
Going. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me.
Okay. Okay. All right.
It was a delay.
Yeah.
So Taking Balfour. Okay, this next one is a band called Nash.
Not Nash Bridges.
No, not Nash Bridges.
Okay.
This one came out, looks like about a month ago. Once again, no credits. But
no.
Guys.
Y'all.
We're going to get some blackened sludge from Columbus, Ohio.
Be better. Put your credits on.
Look at that. Come on, y'all.
Well, maybe they did record it themselves, but
yeah, like but you just said, say
they
that.
Should just say that.
I want to know that.
Exactly.
Well, that's pretty sick, actually.
I want to know who did that art.
Yeah. All right. This song is called The Darker Half. One minute in.
I like that you zoomed in on the photo. Dude, we know what this band looks like. Come on. You don't need to.
No, but we play another game. Who plays what?
Oh.
This is a tough one. I am not getting a good sense.
This is a tough one.
Glasses, I think, writes the songs and plays guitar.
Do you think so? Sings, too, or just writes the song and plays guitar?
I think somebody else sings. I don't know.
I
can't tell.
Well,
they're all scary.
I know. It's kind of tough.
It's wild. This sounds like you took the last record and just turned it inside out.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah,
similar production, instrumentation is the same. Yeah,
that's cool.
Let's get them on a bill together.
Yeah,
actually, they
yeah, it's just together. Like straight up, you know, like very raw drum sound, and you know, probably hopefully was recorded live with not a lot of overdubs, and just like that's what's up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, I actually liked it, and I'm liking this story here. It's like it's not hard to see what they're getting at between the song titles and the artwork.
Sacrificial Bastard, closing track on the album.
It is interesting to imagine the nightmarish life of being a conjoined twin, and I don't know why you would want to write a song about that, but. Oh. Fascinating.
Was that the song title?
Well, no, it's like we got conjoined twins.
The darker
here.
Half.
And one of them's the evil one.
Right? Oh, right.
That's and they're in the amniotic lake, and then one of them has to die so the other one can live.
Broken mirror image.
Yeah.
Sacrifice. Yo.
Yeah. So and, one of them has to die, apparently.
And they're having a shared nightmare.
Yeah. Is it going to be the good one or the bad one? Ooh, man.
Good. I'm not a horror guy either, so it's like it would never occur to me to write about something like that. I never liked horror movies.
Yeah.
I don't like reading horror, so.
Yeah. That was
so basically in short, like I'm down, like we've played with a lot of bands like this. The only, you know, it is cool when bands, I think, like this bring something like they take sort of like the formula and break it a little bit in some way. And I don't know that from a little bit that we heard, this feels like a little bit like, hey, we want to do this thing. And there's not, you know.
Yeah.
But that's cool and probably is, you know, very satisfying to see at a show. And
yeah,
probably
yeah.
Very satisfying to play.
Yeah.
And there's always like, there's always fan, like purist fans who want to see a thing in its like, no, in its normal form.
Like genre people or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Like genre fans. I'm of the same. And that was the rewiring that Mr. Bungle did. I am of the same opinion that I want to see people make a thing and then break it and then remake it. And, you know, like go take weird left turns and
yeah.
Yeah. I remember someone saying that like, it's always great when a band tries to do a thing and fails at it. You know, in some cool way, like, oh, we're trying to be Fleetwood Mac, but we can't, you know, or whatever, yeah. Like, pick, you know, like, but I think these guys are, they're trying to be exactly what they are and they are achieving it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's
some good like, Black and Sludge.
It sounds like the kind of thing where you should just listen to it from start to finish to like get the whole picture.
I'm going to scoot it forward a little bit and we'll listen to some more. We'll give these guys a little more time here.
Yeah.
No, wait. That's
what? There's more?
No, I thought it was like the big halftime drop.
Awesome. All right, Nash.
Sorry, I thought there was going to be like the big old halftime drop there. But
yeah, I was feeling that a little bit.
Were you
bit
feeling
too.
A halftime drop coming?
Frankly, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, gnarly.
Oh, awesome. Okay. We've got a couple more here.
Let me look at some records. So,
ooh, you want to split it up first?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Did you bring anything like we haven't done, and this is the first episode we've done in 5 months. Usually we show off new records we bought. I can't even think back to what I've purchased.
I've gotten so many
what records I bought in the last 5 months, but I did give you your copy of King Gizzard.
That is true.
Which one is this? This is the leather
denim or something like that.
laminated denim. This is one of
you the imagine three. Buying all of their records.
No, I mean, I can't.
Mm-mm, yeah, no. Who's got in this economy?
Yeah, I know, this, right?
Well, and they did kind of a crazy thing that we have talked about before, because a friend of mine put one of the records out. They kind of open sourced a whole bunch of recordings and offered the masters up to anyone who wanted to put out a record, and fuck. Said all you have to do is talk to us and give us some of whatever you press. And so there are in the wild all of these other pressings of, like, I think it was like 10 different sets of recordings, live stuff.
That's incredible.
Yeah, isn't it so cool? Like, they're breaking everything in the best possible way.
Yeah, and it's all good. It's like, yeah, that's wow.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy. So I got the newest.
Shit.
I was actually listening to it. Even my wife got excited about this one, but this is that Primus Revenant Juke. It's a bunch of Primus 7-inches that was the most recent
Third Man
vault package. Release. So it's pretty cool. It's all these.
So people like, still like, you know, Primus.
Basically,
right?
They're hits. Yeah, yeah. So Primus, they're all, you know, each one is a different color. Apparently Primus never put out a 7-inch in their entire career. So it was weird because I didn't listen to Primus all the time, but I saw them every time live for some reason. It was like they toured with a bunch of great bands, so I ended up seeing Primus a lot growing up.
Yeah, well, I lived here in the heyday, so
yeah,
there was no avoiding them. Yeah. And I was a bass player, and you had to love Les Claypool.
You had to love Claypool.
I've actually grown to not like his bass playing over the years, but I still love him.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard me say this, but I said... Interesting. I didn't really know that people still liked Primus. I mean, I do know that they have made like a total career out of being Primus, like, you know, which is awesome and amazing. But I don't know that I would buy a box of 7-inches in the year of our Lord 2022.
I think that's the thing, is it's like, it's Too Many Puppies, Race Car Driver, Tommy the Cat, My Name is Mud, Why No? It's like their greatest hits, basically.
Yeah.
So it's all their greatest hits.
I'm pretty sure
there
are, full-size records you can hear those songs on.
It's true. Well, I mean, to be honest, I forgot that you can turn your Vault subscription on and off.
Yeah, it's like a quarterly subscription.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't have normally paid $75 for that box set of 7 inches.
Look at this rare Pokemon that I bought.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, shit. What's the next one? Have they announced it yet?
No.
Oh, God.
I don't think so. I don't know. We'll have to see, though. But I also picked this is the new Netherlands. And this album is crazy good. It's called Cali Corvette.
Who is it?
Are you familiar with Netherlands?
No.
Oh, man. They're this great. Oh, how would you even? They're undescribable to me. I mean, it's like
impossible. Describe them.
It's impossible to describe. It's electronic. It's experimental noise. It's metal. It's a little bit of everything, but I think they're in New York, but it's this guy named Timo that sort of is he's the founder, brings in different players almost every album. Netherlands is amazing. Really
all right,
good.
I just wrote it down. I'm going to try this.
Is that one of Chris Enriquez's bands?
Yeah, I think he is,
okay.
Actually.
He's managing
yeah,
them?
Yeah, I think he is.
Is there any slap bass?
There is no slap bass. Okay. Yeah, no slap bass.
Do you have a no slap bass allowed in recording sessions? Like, do you have Andy Patterson said he has a sign.
Andy doesn't get to make the rules.
That's what he said. You can take it up with him. I'm
gonna book a session of only slap bass funk with him.
Only slap bass.
I may have threatened to do the same. Just to terrorize him.
I know we've mentioned this a couple times, but do you know Andy?
Yeah, I know Andy.
Oh, okay. Okay. I figured. It seemed like in sort of looking at, do you have ties to Salt Lake somehow? I know you've played Crucial
Fest
a couple times.
We've played there a couple times, and then I mixed one or two records that he recorded, and I don't think he's mixed anything that I recorded, but yeah, we talk occasionally. He's, of course, the nicest dude on the planet.
Yes.
On the planet, yeah. Pretty damn funny, too.
Yeah, he is. If you are going to listen to an episode someday, just listen to Andy.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah. Hilarious, yeah. Hilarious. And then last one, I picked up this new Abrams, In the Dark.
What is an Abrams?
Abrams is a band in Denver. This is on Small Stone.
Well, Andy recorded that.
Yeah, Andy recorded this, actually. Oh. And this was, they're sort of I don't want to call them post-hardcore, but sort of post-hardcore progressive metal. Really good. I mean, a little bit of sludge in here. Like, it's a great album. This is a nice little pink one, you know?
Oh, I like that.
If you're into the colors. But yeah, great, great album. Really catchy, you know? Get a lot of the harmonizing and dual vocals. It's good. I really like Abrams.
Do you buy records or do you just make them?
I don't buy too many. I do not have a chance at home to listen to a lot of music. I have, you know, a collection of, I don't know, a few hundred records, but it's all like, you know, Steely Dan and Fleetwood Mac and Linda Ronstadt and shit like that. You know, stuff that you could find in a thrift store for $3.
Yeah.
That is just like lovely to put on and, you know, listen to. If I'm going to listen to, you know, Abrams, I'm going to listen to it on my phone, in my car probably.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the way that I typically buy shirts, you know, that's, or I'll just buy records on Bandcamp and
yeah,
do nothing, not download them or anything. You know, that's my way of supporting. But yeah, I don't personally need. I don't collect things. I try not to collect things.
Yeah. Except for guitar amps, it sounds like, possibly.
Those are tools.
Those are tools.
Different.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Very true. Very true. Is the sweatshirt you're wearing a band shirt, or is that just like a local artist?
Oh, this is my friend Dave McPeters has a site called Dave's Clubhouse, and he does... like, I've recorded a couple of his bands. He's an absolutely brilliant musician. We just finished this record of his that is gorgeous, and I cannot wait for someone to get to hear it.
Oh, nice.
But he does like these very simple, like 2D line drawings, and him and his partner's name is Lorian Stern, and she is I think she's sort of like mildly internet famous as a, she does a lot of, I guess is it, it's not pottery. What is it? It's, help me out here. Ceramics. She does a lot of like
ceramics.
Okay.
Really beautiful, fun, simple ceramic figures. And then also has like a line of, like a, here, I've got this. Hang on.
This is something, this is something my wife will know about.
This enamel pin of this kid. Okay.
Oh, nice.
It says Lorian Stern on the back. Yeah, she does. That's one of her big things is these ceramic shark heads. So that both her and Dave, they have this really like fun 2D vibe to all the stuff that they do. And yeah, so that's the shirt.
That's cool. Lorian. Lorian. I thought you were saying Lorianne. Lorian Stern.
L-O-R-I-E-N Stern. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Her art is just wonderful and fun and great.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Yeah, it's all very happy.
So this
is the exact opposite of like the blind submissions logo behind you.
which is a joke.
yes. Sure it is.
Don't you get what the hell was the movie called? Don't you get Bill and Ted vibes?
Bill and Ted, the Wild Stallions. Yeah.
So we saw Wand at Psycho, and that was maybe my favorite set of the show, possibly when I think back on it. I had never really listened to them before.
Touring with Melpinata, right?
Yeah. And I hadn't gone deep down the like current LA psych rabbit hole. There's a shit ton of bands right now, but they're like on the much heavier side of the spectrum. Like I was playing on Spotify or something, and then they ran out, and it played me all the other shit that it thinks goes with them. And all of it was a lot like less heavy. I don't know. I love them, and I went and got a bunch of records.
I think I missed that one. I was probably getting infected while you were watching Juan.
Yeah, Juan was incredible. And this is a bunch of live recordings, which is a thing I love that not everybody does. And then, since we saw them on Tuesday night, I had to pick up a copy of Francis the Mute, the Mars Volta.
Oh, wow.
Which is just a great record.
Yeah.
And seeing them play, I had never seen them, so it's kind of like a bucket list show for me, and seeing them play those songs live was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Who's playing drums for them now?
What was her name?
I forget her name, but she was pretty fucking amazing. I mean, those are not easy shoes to fill.
No.
None of them. And I mean, the whole band was incredible. The bass player was their original bass player.
She was good.
Yeah, she was
so good.
From San Antonio. The keyboard player was bonkers. And someone with Omar's last name was playing percussion.
Oh, I found out it's his brother.
It's his brother?
He's been in the band the whole time.
Oh, okay.
Never paid attention.
What do I know?
Yeah.
All right. And last but not least, I got myself a copy of the Converge Blood Moon record.
Oh, nice.
To have.
That's
beautiful.
That's a big record.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is a big record. It's a beautiful package.
Yep.
And that's one to just like throw on when nobody else is home and just sit in the room and not move for an hour.
Oh, as opposed to live Wand recordings, which the whole family really gets into.
Actually, Wand is something I would totally throw on in the background when other people are around, because it's like, you know, no one's like screaming bloody murder and there's no like,
that's true.
You know, crazy. It's like playing King Buffalo in the background.
Yeah, good background music,
yeah.
For
but
sure.
I also like to listen to it actively. But
yeah. So the person playing drums right now for Mars Volta, her name is Linda Filomena Sungui.
No, I don't know that name.
I think she's a studio musician.
I'll go find a video. I am not a huge Mars Volta. I was a huge At the Drive-In fan, and Mars Volta kind of like lost me pretty fast in like Mall Prague kind of land. But
yeah.
I did fuck with those first two records a bunch and would enjoy, I think, watching a little bit of, you know, them pulling that stuff off now.
Well, and what I was, I guess I should have known or should have expected, but having never seen them before, like the live experience is different because it's like half the songs and then half just like free jazz jams, you know.
And everyone absolutely just fucking killing it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone a couple of times I was like, all right, 3 minutes would have been fine. Like we didn't need the full seven minutes, but that's just me.
Cut a short line.
I just wanted to hear the songs.
Yeah.
My friend Evelyn does a lot of improv stuff on piano and plays with a bunch of badasses around the Bay Area. And she was telling me the other day that often she's like, oh, we use timers all the time at these sets. She's like, I don't know if you knew that, but like, we'll agree. Like this piece is 3 minutes long in advance and we'll set a timer. because it's too easy to get lost in it while you're doing it. And for the fucking poor audience's sake, like,
yeah, yeah, exactly. They're like, how long have they been going?
Yeah. The last one that led into like the last song, or second to last song, I was just like, okay.
Okay.
I think it was like 13 minutes.
Okay, Omar.
And the bass player's
wrap
like
it up.
Riding E for 13 minutes. No, like no joke. That's as much. I mean, that at least give me some tasty bass.
I don't know. Actually, that's pretty sick. I don't know.
It was for a few minutes. It was
for a few minutes. It
for
was
sure.
Great.
It's fantastic. What is it?
Is that it?
Yeah,
are you
that's
done?
That's
all
I brought.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm fucking done.
I quit. I'm out of here.
I need to turn on my AC.
Why?
It's because it just got really hot in here. Do you have time for a couple more songs and then we'll wrap things up?
Oh, sure.
Awesome.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's go back here. These guys have actually emailed us multiple times during our break. So
Astro Throne. Ooh.
So Tales of the Astro.
Oh shit, we are 3 for 3.
Oh, once again? Really?
This is unprecedented.
Okay, people.
Man.
From now
this
on,
hurts
if
me.
You do not list your credit, no,
we won't play you.
We're not playing you.
Get your credit.
It's great though. I think it's good.
We
for
actually
people
do
to
have a rule.
It's
that
important.
We're...
Like,
yeah.
Did they have they done it on any of them? No. I mean, one thing that we have definitely discovered during the pandemic is that there were a lot of projects, new projects, one man projects. And I can see that's the kind of situation where you'd end up with a thing just posted up on Bandcamp with no credits. Or it's just like a dude in his basement making a record. But I don't know that that's what this is.
It's the debut EP from Astrothrone. All right. This came out on my oldest child's birthday this year. So happy birthday.
Nice
maybe.
Little bit of PII dropped into the world there, JD.
Yeah. Well, nobody knows who that oldest child is.
Don't use it as a password.
They know nothing. Okay. Don't use it as a. Doesn't don't we all use the name of our firstborn as our password for years?
Their birth.
No.
Their birth.
No. We do not.
Their birth date.
Nope.
That's like one of those.
Hey, I at least mix it up with like some. You know,
dude. We're not talking about passwords.
Yeah.
No, that's like one of those harvesting posts on Facebook.
With this
like
is true.
Those five questions, and you're like,
"Yo, I just said we're not talking about passwords."
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay.
Oh, I'm gonna talk about passwords.
This getting passwords in here. I have it written down. Okay, on Hyperion Shore is the name of the song.
All right. Is this Hyperion Shore? It's a cool shore. It's got sheep.
One minute in, let's discuss.
Surprised me.
That surprised the hell out of me. That is not what I was expecting.
No.
I actually really like that.
You were expecting to not like it?
No. I should say, no, I'll leave out the actually. I really like that.
Yeah.
No, I was just judging by the cover, to be honest, and the name of the band, I was kind of thinking it was going to be like some stoner metal, and there was going to be a guy with a very Yardley voice singing.
Yeah, so here's what I think. One of the bands from Swanfest broke into the practice room of that stoner metal band and then recorded a record in there real quick and then bounced and left the tapes behind. It was very confusing to my ears.
Well, I'm glad they did that.
It's sort of like a screamo kind of vibe on the vocals. But over like kind of metal-y kind of stuff, and what does I think sound like maybe programmed drums.
I think so.
Quite the juxtaposition.
A drummer.
Again, I won't be surprised at all if this is one person. I think this smells to me like one person put it together. Maybe the email when we go back to it will say.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like screamo, but then it was like kind of lo-fi and then kind of metally and kind of not. I don't know. The whole thing was, and I don't have a problem with things not sounding the way they look. I don't mind people.
Oh no, not at all. That's a nice surprise. Actually,
yeah.
I like it when that happens.
It's not a kind of music I ever really listened to.
And I did.
Yeah, and you did. So,
what about you, Scott?
What's that?
Did you listen to stuff like that?
Screamo stuff? I listened to a lot of, I guess the short answer is no. And the longer answer is like, I listened to a lot of stuff in the late 90s, early 2000s that was like sort of more post-hardcore-y stuff. Like, I don't know, Rival Schools or Quicksand or, trying to think, Small Brown Bike or, stuff that was like, it was like earnest.
Yeah.
And like, dudes yelling about their feelings or whatever, but it wasn't quite screamo really. I don't think I ever really was like a screamo person.
Yeah, I never got into the screamo either, and I don't think this is quite screamo.
No, it's like wino. It's like he's not like at a full scream, but he's also not.
But the thing is, I could see this
going. Yeah, but I think a lot
going.
Of screamo these days has evolved to something kind of like this. There's a lot of like going screamo-y punk bands in Oakland that sound, with vocals kind of like that, but over a more traditional kind of like, house show kind of like halftime hardcore beats kind of vibe to the music.
So are we going to get some good cop, bad cop out of this?
No, I think that's the voice.
Yeah,
there's one cop.
I think there's only one cop. I wouldn't be surprised if my daughter sent me the link and said, this is the band I saw in the backyard last weekend. Yeah, let's listen to some more.
Okay, let's listen to some more.
The content is different than you normally get. He's not singing about his emotions or his girlfriend or whatever. He's singing about dragons and space and stuff. And that's that's different.
Yeah.
How do you guys know what people are singing about? That's.
Well, I'm just looking at.
I'm just guessing by the song titles.
I read the song titles and his little bio thing.
Oh, okay.
Explains what the music is about.
Giants of Glacia.
Dark Wizard.
Dark Wizard.
That wizard made me mad.
Yeah.
Maybe he's talking about emotions. I don't know.
Maybe not. Yeah. Who knows? All right. Well, that was Astro Throne, and the song was on Hyperion
Shore.
Yeah,
I think it would be cool to hear a full band.
Yeah.
Doing this stuff, like that would be like, because again, this it does sound a little bit like a studio construction. And if you had a put together a band and played this stuff live and recorded it live, I think that would be it would glue together and maybe have like it would evolve and push and pull a little bit. That if it played to a click or to a program drums, like you can't do so much. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's listening to you talk about, like. That those bands being the flip side of Quicksand and all of that stuff, it makes me think of a parallel band would be Elder. So Nick came out of that like hardcore post-hardcore and kind of does the talk yelling vocals, but is into the content that's more progressive and talking about wizards and dungeons. And this is like the a different vocal, different vocal style, but kind of following probably a similar path.
Oh yeah, I can see that. Yeah,
yeah.
So get a band.
Get a band.
100%.
Said no one ever.
Said no one ever.
Yeah. God, I hate to advise you to do this, but get a band.
We got one more song.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna find it.
Oh, okay.
Nobody needs to watch me.
Nobody needs to watch you
click through my
click
computer.
Through your. I don't know. I think people want to see that. Okay.
Oh, shit.
This one, I think is. We're in for something.
Wow. We really have no. Do we have no credits?
Is that a filled hockey stick?
I don't know. I don't know what's happening here.
That's not a field hockey stick, but the top, it looks like that guy is carrying a field hockey stick on the right.
Yeah, we got Negan's bat from The Walking Dead.
Ah, yes.
A field hockey stick. These guys are from Bogota, Colombia.
Yeah, okay. Let's dig into this. It's 2 minutes long. Let's listen to the whole thing.
All right.
And then we'll discuss. Okay.
You know the meme, the Robert Redford nodding meme?
Yes.
That's me. Right now.
Nice.
So this is interesting. The name is the band name is the name is commonly referred to as a metaphor for a forced and daily inhale of violence and savagery.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So air like gunfire is essentially what the band's name is. So, I mean, I don't even know how you even comment on music that's being created in a place like people who grew up in Colombia, like from everything that I've read and seen about what life was like there and is like there now. Can only imagine, but that was pretty intense.
I do like that one of the tags is gospel.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the tags is gospel.
One of the tags is gospel. Yeah.
I'm not even. Hey, if you don't want to put the credits on, don't put the credits on. It's really not for me to comment on that.
Gospel.
That is crazy, though, that we had four no credits.
Yeah, that's really weird because they are almost always there.
Yeah.
Super weird.
I want to listen to more stuff at some point. They don't have much up, there's only a couple of songs.
Yeah, that shit's good. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Way to go. So the band is Air Como Plomo.
You know, it's neat, actually, the beginning of that, where it was like kind of that, like, sort of chanted room thing. I'm not really an intro person. That was rad. I was like, oh, this is immediately interesting.
Oh, yeah. Completely. Yep. Completely. Yeah. I love a good intro.
And the dude's doing, I assume it's a dude, is doing those, like, harmonic rakes.
Yep.
Like Shibby and Yautja does those a bunch. That, like, kind of thing, which I'm sort of a sucker for.
Oh, yeah. They're so good. It's one of my favorite parts of that Yautja record.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
So cool.
We actually, they were one of the bands, we actually discovered them on the show.
Yeah, they submitted music to us.
They did?
Yeah.
Which record?
This is incredible.
Well, I don't know. We don't know if it was them or if it was their publicist. But...
yeah. Wait, which record?
The newest one?
The newest one, oh, yeah.
I recorded that
Is that
one.
The one that you recorded?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we said a lot of nice things about it, and then we bought
and
them.
And then we bought
and
them.
And then we bought
them. Oh. Yeah. They are like one of the, if not the best band doing it right now, I think.
Oh,
they
are
so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. So good.
All I wanted to do was see them live, like so hyped up, just hoping that it's what I imagine it would be after listening to the recording and feeling pretty confident it was.
100%. Like I've seen them a bunch of times, and I don't know anyone who's ever seen them and been like, eh, it's, you know, it's every time. It's just like fucking, like they are so, so sick and so good at what they do and so kind of weird.
They do seem like one of those bands that you would go and like from the second they start until the second they stop, it is just like in your face, and you're just like, "What the fuck is happening right now?"
Are they fairly young?
They're
like under 30,
30-ish, I think. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Youngish. Yeah. I don't know. We played. Was it Migration Fest, which was like a spinoff of? I think it was when we. The Migration Fest one, the one that was in Olympia. Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
And so it was, you know, like all these like doom bands and like sort of like crazy blacken bands. And then who played at the end of the night? Someone insane played like this hour and a half, just like time bending set. And then after all that, Yautja played this after show at a little bar across the street, and every musician who was at the playing the fest was there to watch Yautja, basically, like, you know, like just all these like extremely good drummers sitting there like taking notes the whole time, you know, just like they are totally a musician's band, but also like anyone who's not a musician just watching them, it really, really killer band.
That's
I'm trying to find the like poster for Migration Fest so we can figure out who
and their drummer has also been playing in Thou, right?
Yes, he's been in Thou for a number of years, and that's interesting because I think, you know, he's like a Formula One race car, you know, and he's like doing like the Demolition Derby or something with Thou, but it's great. He, you know, he's just such a good player. He's got great time, and he sounds great in Thou.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, two great bands. We had Andy on actually right
Andy
before the
was
break.
The last episode.
I think he was the last episode. Oh. Yeah, exactly.
Love that guy.
He was
yeah, great dude.
Absolutely lovely. He was.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna sort of like start to wrap things up a little bit with we do a this or that round.
Okay.
And we'll see.
It's not Bay. It's not Bay.
Should we skip the Bay Area?
Yeah,
oh man. All right.
Save it for somebody else. But
it's not all Bay Area.
Okay.
It's okay. Whatever. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I got nothing. You got
Okay. So I would love to know, actually, this is a question we ask. What do you think is the silliest thing in metal?
Metal.
Yeah. Metal. All right, I think that's a great answer. And I don't know what your hometown actually is, but what is your favorite hometown band? They don't need to be active, like just all time favorite hometown band.
Oh wow, I grew up on Long Island, and there were not a ton of bands happening then, from right around there that I knew of. I don't know how to answer this question.
It's not mind over matter.
It's not mind over matter. It's not Dream Theater.
That's my favorite all time Long Island band.
But it's not Vision of Disorder. It's not. Can I say Public Enemy? Does that count? Like,
yeah,
not,
yeah, of course. Like, it doesn't need to be metal.
Like, Chuck D's got like.
I'm looking at a list right now.
Long Island, right?
LL Cool J. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mariah
I think
Carey.
Chuck D was Long Island. I don't. Yeah, I don't know. Can I say Zebra? Like, You know, like,
sure.
There's just not a lot of. I'll tell
you
what.
There's no right or wrong answer.
Here, I have an answer finally.
All right.
Gospel. Who are, you know, a going band now, still sort of considered a screamo-y band. Do you guys have the, do you guys fuck with gospel?
No, I have not heard of them, actually.
Just add to cart immediately. Shit is fucking amazing. They did a record in mid-2000s that Kurt recorded, and I didn't know about it until just like last year, the year before, and I could not stop listening to it.
Oh, wow.
Just weird, like octopus drummer, like weird sort of like hardcore-ish prog, whatever, I don't know. And then after a 15-year hiatus, they put out two records last year, or was it this year? Both are fucking amazing, and I think they are Long Island.
Yeah, it looks like this is the, is there the MVDM was the most recent record?
I think July. That one is actually like produced, a song, it's like a 20-minute song that they were doing like decades ago, and then they finally recorded it, or maybe they had recorded it a long time ago and just finally mixed it. I don't know, but yeah. And then there's also a LP besides that one that came out just a few months before that.
All right.
All totally crucial, just fucking great.
All right.
Absolutely. Awesome.
I think we just killed two birds with one stone, because I was going to ask you what band everybody should go listen to immediately after this. Gospel.
Sounds like that.
Yeah, I would probably, I'd give you more, but that's
Yeah, let's hear more. Like, who are you really liking right now?
We did a bunch of shows with, or a few shows with Cal Marx. Do you know these guys from Boston?
No.
Awesome band. I guess I would sort of equate it to somewhere in the vein of like maybe a slightly more aggressive, less songful Pile, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really good. Their new LP is fantastic. Also sounds great. Seth at Machines with Magnets, just killing it. Been listening to this band Self-Evident a bunch lately. They're, I think, more like, these records are, I want to say 2010s or something, sort of like a mathy, sort of like Farrakhet kind of vibe, if you were into Farrakhet. If you were not into Farrakhet, I'd fucking go get that shit immediately. just like super. Did you guys listen to Watchtower in the 90s?
No.
I did not, no.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
Watchtower was like
I was almost exclusively all post-hardcore in the 90s. Were they post-hardcore?
They were not. They were like super shreddy metal. And,
Shit. Look at these guys.
Just the sickest, most insane. Which guys? What are we looking at? What's he looking at?
Sorry, you were frozen.
You were frozen.
Oh, wait. Oh, shit. Look at what guys?
Watchtower.
Oh, yeah. I found a picture of Watchtower.
I found a picture.
Is this the same Watchtower?
Yes. Hell yeah. I'm in.
Yeah, the Control and Resistance record is fucking insane. And it's actually pretty interesting to listen to that, which is like 1989 or something, and consider how far, you know, sort of technical metal has or has not come, because that stuff is done, you know, totally without Pro Tools or whatever, and it is just bonko. But I would say Farrakhet is almost like the DC post-hardcore indie version of that, like very technical and weird, but also like great hooks, and this is an unfair comparison because Watchtower is kind of like hard to listen to in some ways, and Farrakhet I find very listenable. But Self-Evident sort of like vibes like Farrakhet a little bit, like riffy, very chopsy, weird, just lots of weird starts and stops and time signatures and stuff. Really good.
That sounds so far up my alley that I'm going to listen to it as soon as we're done.
Yeah, we are.
What else? Matt Ball. Do you guys know Matt Ball from Big Brave?
Yes.
I know Big Brave.
I know Big Brave.
I didn't know he was doing
solo
stuff.
Big Brave is fucking amazing. Probably the other best band doing it right now, I would say. And Matt put out a record of solo guitar recently that is solo guitar records should not be good. This record is beautiful. It's great. So definitely recommended.
That's awesome.
I don't know. That's enough for now.
That's good. Yeah. That's a nice list.
All right. You know what? I am going to do the this or that. I got to get to it.
All right.
It's going to be a regular thing.
It's all you.
So I'm just going to go down this list. I'm going to give you two things, and you're going to tell me which one.
All right.
All right. Autopsy or brain oil?
Brain oil.
All right. Seventh Son or Somewhere in Time?
Oh, fuck. Somewhere in Time.
Skinny Puppy or Front 242?
Skinny Puppy.
Revelation or Victory? Skip. Black metal or death metal?
Death metal.
Industrial or drone?
I guess I'll go industrial.
It's tough. Metal or hardcore?
Hardcore?
All right. Metallica,
neither? I don't know.
Metallica or Megadeth?
Rust in fucking peace.
Rust in fucking peace. Live albums or studio albums?
Studio albums.
It's not a, it's
unless
not
we're
a
talking
question.
About,
all
unless
right.
we're talking about UFO, studio albums. Do we?
Right.
Do we
sleep
lose connection
or high
again?
On fire?
Wait, are we?
No, I think we're here. Can you hear us?
Okay, I can hear you now.
Yeah.
All right. Sleep or high on fire?
I'm gonna go high on fire.
All right. Finally, and this is coming from Andy. Are you an engineer or a producer?
I'm an engineer.
Yes.
All right. Awesome.
I'm happy to produce your record, but you probably don't want me to.
Yeah. awesome. Thank you.
Killer.
This has been great.
Yeah. It's good to meet you. And
thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
And the next time, hopefully, the next time you guys play in the Bay Area, we can find our way over there.
December 6th.
Oh, yeah. We were playing
6th?
In Oakland with Mets.
Right. December 9th in Oakland with Mets.
Oh.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Where is that show?
In
what,
Oakland.
What venue is it at?
It's in Oakland.
And it's at the Oakland.
It's
in Oakland.
Yeah, that's the same week.
I can never
Elbow
fucking remember.
Room,
I love
London,
this venue. I can never remember the name. Oh, New Parish. That's right. New Parish.
Oh, New Parish.
I can never remember the name of the New Parish, even though I love the venue.
Isn't there another show there like on the 6th, and that's the week that I might have to be gone for fucking work?
Oh, I don't know. Probably.
Yeah, there was something else that I was like, fuck, man, I might miss that.
Might have to miss work.
Exactly.
That would be lovely.
Yes.
Especially since that work will be in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh. All right. Well, yeah, this is great. Is there anything you want to like plug, talk about? Like anything you got coming up? I mean, there's the tour, nothing else.
Yeah, I'm not really a salesperson.
Not a plugger.
No. All right.
We'll put links to whatever your social media or your website or whatever you have that promotes your business.
Yeah.
Thank you for promoting my business.
Yes.
I have that stuff. It's fine. But I got nothing to plug. I appreciate
awesome.
You guys being interested in having me on.
Yeah,
definitely. Definitely.
And hopefully we'll run into you in person at some point. I'd be shocked if we haven't already been in the same room at the same time.
Yeah. But like dozens and dozens of times.
Probably.
Yeah.
The three nondescript old white guys.
Bunch of dudes
with
baseball caps
various
with beards.
Degrees of beards
yeah.
and caps. So.
It's
cool.
Standing with their arms crossed going like this.
Yep.
All right.
All right, man.
I don't like owning up to that, but it's sad and true. Yeah.
It is.
Yep.
It's very sad and very true.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy anytime I see a band on stage and they don't look like me. Like
pretty much.
When we saw Escuela Grind at Psycho, I was like, oh, thank God. They're not all me.
Yeah, not at all. Fuck, they were good.
I go to band practice and I feel sorry a little bit. It's like,
yeah,
apology
same.
To the world.
Yeah.
This is the band.
This is what we look like.
Sorry. Move along.
You all will right, not man. Be swooning.
Well, enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me on again.
Yes, yes, definitely. Thanks for coming
Catch
on.
Catch you later.
See ya.
See ya.
Woo woo. Boom. I'm sorry I give you a hard time about the this or that.
It's okay. Well, no, I mean.
I didn't realize you had a bunch of shit that wasn't buried.
I do.
Okay.
But I do try to cater it to, you know, that person's hometown. But I didn't realize that he wasn't from Oakland.
He's from Strong Island.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny. John had a hard time coming up with bands from Long Island and
yeah,
ended
really
up
did.
Just talking about Nick's old band.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? That's yeah. right. That's right. What's up with you, Long Island? Long Island?
So, let's not go long, but man, a lot of stuff has gone down. Nick Lee, everyone, Nick Lee from Moontooth, saw on his social media that he's on vacation in the desert right now,
good.
Which is awesome. If you don't know or hadn't heard, The guitar player from Moontooth had a crazy like medical event at practice, getting ready to go play shows with Cave-In.
Yeah,
collapsed in the studio, had seizures, was in a medically induced coma for a month, and is
that's some scary shit.
It's really scary shit, and but apparently, hopefully, is on the path to like complete recovery.
Yeah,
so.
And when he gets well enough, we'll love to have him on.
And we will definitely have him on. And try not to talk about it.
Try not to talk
unless
too much about it.
Unless he wants
unless
to.
Unless he wants to, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. But yeah, I mean, shit, it was a summer, man.
It was a summer.
It was fucking busy.
We did shit. We went to Psycho. And we
did go to Psycho, and that was amazing.
We went hard, and then we got home, and JD texted me a photo of his positive test on Tuesday morning.
Then I was on death's door for like a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Wrecked.
It was not pretty.
Yeah. So
here I was thinking, oh yeah, these new variants aren't so bad. Talking to all these people, they're like, yeah, it was just sniffles and a little bit of cough, and then oh man, I was expecting that, and what I got was like the shit you hear about very early in the pandemic.
Yeah, you know, all the way up until actually going into the hospital. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, and then I think it was almost a month before I saw you in person again, other than
it was.
Dropping off some beer between you recovering and then just travel and summer shit happening.
Yeah.
So, you know, we try to bank episodes. We had no episodes banked, and then life crashed into us. And
but I'm so glad that so many of you actually reached out to ask if we were ever coming back.
Yes,
that makes me feel real good.
Yeah, for sure. We got recognized at Psycho.
We got recognized at Psycho.
So if you're out there, listener, thank you.
Thank you for that one listener that recognized us.
And a kook shirt at Psycho too.
Yeah, kook shirt. That was pretty great. Yeah. Apparently they had listened to the Melinda episode. And then Melinda episode was great.
Yeah, indeed.
Yes,
cat,
for sure.
Cats and her partner sitting on the couch in the background the whole time. It was rad.
That was awesome.
So any other shit we need to talk about?
I mean, shows are back. Like, we saw some shows over the summer.
We kinged that gizzard for 3 hours.
That gizzard for 3 hours.
And they were great. And if you have a chance to see them,
oh my God,
think you like them, or John Brookhouse, I'm talking to you. Even if you think their jammy stuff starting to sound like Fish, I know you're gonna go if they're in town. But do yourself a favor and go. This is like a band at the peak of their power. Like, if you want to see, I was there when, you know, Led Zeppelin was there at their most amazing or whatever. For King Gizzard, this is their.
Oh, I think I turned to you at like 2.5 hours into that show and said, I'm thinking right now that this is the greatest active living rock band right now. Like, I mean, they are really fucking good.
As they tore through the catalog, it's like Prague, and then there's fucking
thrash,
jazzy grooves. There's a circle pit during some jazz grooves, and then they play thrash.
No
circle pit.
I could talk. No circle pit.
The venue, the Greek Theater, is like, if you ever have a chance to come see a show, it's, you know, right at the top of the UC Berkeley campus outside, and so you get to watch the sunset over the bay. As you watch the show, you go up to the top and you can see out over into the bay. It is an absolutely incredible venue. It sounds great.
It does. It's one of my favorite.
Fancy beer and wine.
Fancy beer and wine. Yeah, exactly.
But if you go on a Sunday, a lot of the restaurants in Berkeley are closed on
Sunday. Yeah, apparently.
Apparently on Sunday nights. That was fucking
weird. Berkeley people.
I went to school there. How do I not know this?
I don't know. Maybe they were open on Sundays.
I wasn't going out to dinner. That's how I didn't know this.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Broke-ass student.
That's got to be it right there. It's a college thing, and broke-ass students go to school on Sundays. Or they don't go to – fuck.
We go to Blondie's or, we go to Blondie's or Fat Slice and get $1.50 slice of pizza is what we did.
That was on our list.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, give me some Bay Area things. What happened? Did my microphone just turn off?
No, those have been a little bit
there
touching.
We go. Okay. Weird. Yeah. I just couldn't hear myself. Definitely some of those things. But yeah, I mean, it was a summer. Sorry, we were gone for so long.
Yeah, we're back. I don't know what the regular schedule will be. JD and I will figure it out, if it's going to still be weekly or if we'll do twice a month or what.
Yeah.
We'll try to come up with something regular, though.
We'll figure something out for sure.
And stick to it.
Yes, sir. And then What else are we doing? I guess we'll find more to talk about later.
Yeah.
I would really love to sort of share some of the finds that we had from Psycho. Some of the bands that I know I've never heard of that were just wowed us.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, let's talk about a couple right now. Like, I showed off that Wand record. Mm-hmm. If you're into psych but like heavier music, definitely give them a listen.
Totally.
They have some really great shit out in the world. Escuela Grind was incredible.
Yeah, you just mentioned them. They were. I mean, that blew me away.
Yeah.
There was like four of them on that giant stage. But like that singer was owning that, man.
Okay. That singer is also a working architect.
Are you serious?
Not shitting you.
A working architect.
Yes, an architect.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Was not expecting that when I was trying to do some background research on them.
Yeah.
Who else was really good?
Yeah, I mean, there were so many that were Whores. I mean, but we know that. You know, we had Christian on the show early on. Whores was amazing. They played a small little venue that was fucking packed.
So to paint the picture for those of you who didn't go, this was a brand new location for the event.
Yeah.
And so we didn't know how it was all going to kind of work out. And it was five venues. One was like a tent that they erected outside that was the main stage. It was like 7,000 capacity. Just
huge.
Like a flat floor, essentially. Yeah. We were in there the least by a wide margin.
Mm-hmm.
The second biggest, probably technically, was a ballroom in like the convention area. So if you've ever like had to go to a conference in Vegas for anything,
it was fucking weird.
It kind of felt like you were walking into the conference room for whatever work event you're at, but then there was a stage and bands playing.
Yeah.
Then the closed pool club, like the day club where they have the day club parties, was amazing. That was, you know, kind of indoor outdoor. And if you had VIP tickets, you could go up on the balcony, which was rad.
Yeah.
And then I'll share videos at some point, but like circle pit in the pool during Escuela Grind
and Gate Creeper.
Gate Creeper. Yeah. Elder got rained on at the pool the first night, like to the point where their equipment was fucking up. So they moved into a tiny little venue. So then three of the venues were just inside the resort, like facing out. So if you didn't have a ticket to the show, you could have stood outside three of the venues pretty close, frankly.
Oh, completely.
One of them wasn't even an area that you had to show a wristband. It was literally a stage in the middle of the food court. And there's like a night market street food court area. They don't have like the traditional buffet. It was actually kind of a cool setup.
It was cool.
So all of the sets there you could have just watched for free. And Mothership played there, Quest played, a bunch of people played
the
there.
The bar that was in the main area too, what was called the Red Tail.
Just like a restaurant and bar that faced out into like the walkway of the mall.
Yeah.
And you could just stood and watched any set you wanted from there.
Yep.
And then the third one was that Top Dog or some shit like that. I forget what it was called. But it was another just like sports bar that had
a stage. That's right.
So Elder moved in and played a set in that tiny little room like last minute. And the Great Electric Quest, now that Buddy is the mayor of Psycho Las Vegas, apparently, Buddy Donner, who dropped on me without having told me before that he's actually running the Psycho record label now.
Yeah.
So he was working the festival all weekend, and Quest was already booked to play three sets. And then they added a fourth one because they warmed up the crowd for Elder when Elder moved into the little room.
Quest just become like the Psycho house band.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
And they crushed. At one point when they were playing, I was standing out in the hallway in the mall, just kind of watching from the outside. And the guys from Carcass walked up and I heard him go, "Is that drummer playing traditional grip?" He is, isn't he? And then they walked this was right at the beginning of their set. They walked in, stood right in front of Buddy and watched the entire set like with giant smiles on their faces.
Oh yeah.
And I told Buddy afterwards and he was stoked.
Oh, I mean, come on.
Yeah, it was pretty rad.
One of the main, and I think the other guy was like one of the newer guitarists, but like both of the guitarists from Carcass walk in and watch your entire set.
Yeah,
like,
and because they caught Mucho playing trad grip.
Playing trad grip,
With one hand. Oh, so.
That's amazing. But yeah. No, there was so many. I mean, I think a few of the others that were that really kind of stood out to me was that Elizabeth Colorwill.
They were
fucking bonkers.
Yeah, I mean, girl just like walked into the audience and just engaged people at point blank and just like screaming in their faces. And...
Yep. They were incredible. That Golden Dawn Orchestra.
Yes, was the funk band.
That was insane. I mean, that was like one of those, you know, they're all wearing their golden robes and they're, you know, they're all dressed up to the nines. They have two dancers, one on each side of the stage. And I mean, that was bonkers. That was like one that you have to go see. I don't know how well it would come alive.
Well, it's kind of like recorded, but what's the other funk band that played Psycho from New York?
Yep. I don't remember.
You'll remember the name. But similar. Like, I put those records on, too.
Oh. I mean, you could, yeah.
Rotting Christ at Red Tail at 2 a.m., throwing out, like, crazy things, like, kids are walking by. And that was the most fun thing about three of the venues being just in the middle of the hotel is just the regular people who booked their weekend at Resorts World were just, like, assaulted with an extreme metal festival.
And you could hear people talking. They're like, what the fuck is going on here this weekend? And I even heard one person, I walked past one person, and they're like, I don't understand how people can afford to stay at this hotel. Like, these people.
We got these people. We did.
Oh, if only you knew.
And the security and I asked the police who were there, but the security there also said it's the easiest crowd they've had the entire time. The place has only been open for a year, and the cops basically said we've had zero incidents.
Of course,
so we were good boys and girls.
We were, yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, there was that Geneva Jacuzzi too. Remember that?
Yes,
that was fucking crazy.
I have video of Geneva Jacuzzi.
That was a performance artist from New York who, I mean, it was performance art. I mean, that was crazy. And she was another one that came out into the and like did half of the show on the floor and had dancers and got the audience involved, and it was super cool. I think that was like, I think, you know, this year especially, you and I made a point to, I think, go and see bands that we had never heard of and never seen before. And I would encourage people to do that when you go to festivals because, you know, unless you've never seen your favorite bands, but that's how you discover new music.
Kyle Shutt from the Sword got up on stage with the Quest and played.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Played a solo in a cover that they played.
And yeah.
Kyle was just hanging out all weekend, like at a table at one of the venues, just like holding court. Anyone who walked up, he'd just like invite him over. And if you ever wanted to meet Kyle Shutt.
He was like the superstar at Psycho this year.
Not that hard. Dude's incredibly approachable and was more than happy to chat with everybody all weekend.
And apparently the Sword officially announced that they're done this week.
I saw that.
Saw that coming, but.
Yeah. I think Kyle's been preparing for that for a long time. Carpenter Brut, I heard, almost walked off stage.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm unhappy with the stage setup and the monitor setup, I think, in that. In the
They did stop really early on in their set.
In the conference room.
Yeah.
Apparently the audio in the conference room wasn't great.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
The conference room. Yeah. That was, we saw, I went and saw Drain there. I think I'm sure that's where I got COVID.
Yeah. So you didn't miss Wand because Wand also played in that same.
Oh, really?
That's where Wand played too.
I swear I missed Wand. I don't know. Maybe I was outside because I was outside for a while.
Pretty sure during Wand.
Yeah.
You were on an experience.
Was I having an experience?
Yeah. I think you were. I'll just say that.
And we did a lot of dancing. There was a lot of like goth and industrial and like sort of techno electronic bands, and we did a lot of dancing.
And good friends who we hadn't seen in a while. Friends like Susie from Broom's best friend.
Yep.
And her husband, who we hadn't seen in a long time. Like, that's how they end their night. So it was like, fuck it, dance party.
Fucking dance party. 4-hour dance party. And Mucho and his wife joined us.
Yeah, well, in the last night, the dance party, King Woman's just like right next to us the whole time.
King Woman was at the dance party with
us.
She was
just dance partying
with us. Who was that? That last one, was that Lotion or whatever? I can't remember, but there was that was some straight up old school, like industrial dance music that was incredible.
Yeah. I'll have to get those videos on my computer.
Maybe
we can do like a little.
Yeah, we'll have to share some
like
of this
a summer
stuff.
Vacation.
Yeah, summer vacation. Ooh, yeah, put together one of those what the hell slideshows.
Beats Antique was rad.
Beats Antique was amazing.
That was really cool.
Yeah, I really liked them. Yeah. And Witch Mountain actually played a set with their original lineup.
With Uda, yeah.
Yeah.
Singing. That was really cool.
That was super cool. Super cool. Shout out to Nate, who has also been on the show.
Yes. And was had a fun time at Psycho.
Yes. Oh, yeah. He had a ton of bands on the bill, too, this year. But yeah,
he was busy.
Yeah. I mean, it was great, you know, and it was funny because, you know, my wife asked me after I sort of was recovering from COVID.
Was it worth it?
Was it still worth it? At that point, I think I was like, I don't know. I'm on the fence. Now I'm like,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, but I mean, if you trust old Jeff and JD here and you even think about possibly going, go once.
Oh,
and don't worry about if your favorite band is headlining. I don't know. For me, that's not, I spent almost 0 minutes watching headliners. I don't really care who the headliners are.
Don't look at the headliners.
I'm there to like see all the see the undercard and just see and hang out with people.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I mean, I heard people went to Bone Thugs, which I heard was okay. I did not go to that. Yeah. I think Ghostface Killa didn't even show up. I think Raekwon and GZA didn't even show up. There was like
only one
maybe
of,
one of them showed up.
I think Raekwon showed up.
Yeah, Raekwon showed up.
Yeah.
I went to watch Suicidal because I'd never seen them live because they are one of my all-time favorite bands. And two songs into the set, I had to leave because
it was embarrassing.
Nothing against Suicidal, but it was just like one of those things where it was just, I feel like they became kind of a farce of themselves.
Yeah.
It's like they now have a stage routine that they go through, and it's like more of an act than it is them performing. And I just couldn't.
And it's just Mike Muir, right?
Yeah. It's. I mean, it's him. He has a band.
But the only actual member.
The only actual original member. Yeah. But I mean, Psycho or Suicidal has always been like a
cast of characters.
Yeah, cast of characters.
Well, there was one guitar player who was there for most of the time, right?
Well, Rocky George. No, he was. You know what? I think the thing. Rocky came on, and I think he was on my three favorite albums. So I think I'm a Rocky fan
Okay.
of Suicidal because he sort of took him in that more thrash direction. But he's obviously no longer around. But what's his name?
I don't know.
Bass player from Metallica.
Oh, Robert Trujillo.
His son is playing bass. So Robert Trujillo spent some time with Suicidal, and now his son is playing bass in Suicidal.
Thundercat did a stint.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Thundercat played bass for them too.
So I'm just going to stick with the old records rather than trying to see them live because I don't want it to be ruined for me.
Yeah, come. I mean, like 150 sets. You're going to see and see stuff that you weren't thinking you we're going to like, or just like experiment a little bit. Don't miss your like absolute favorites. I had to go and catch some High on Fire. That was really the only time I spent in the big room.
I actually missed that one.
Yeah. JD missed it. Cause I had to see Cody play drums.
Oh
yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Who was I seeing? Damn it.
I don't know.
I wanted to see Cody play with them.
It was, yeah, dude's got it.
Oh.
I'm not going to like say fighting words,
no.
But I'm going to say, I like them better with Cody.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dez is a monster, but I would prefer what I heard.
Interesting.
Yeah. Just slight differences in style. And I just really like Cody so much as a drummer. And
he's so good.
And he fit in so perfectly. He wasn't in there with a double bass kit. You know, he's playing single bass.
Yeah.
Like, pretty small kit, actually. And I don't know. It just had like a more raw punk energy.
Yeah. Well, that would make sense.
Yep.
It is kind of funny because it really does. It depends a lot on that drummer. Because High on Fire honestly could be sort of a punk band or they could be a metal band.
Yeah, there's an amped up Motorhead.
Yeah, exactly. And so it really depends on which drummer they have behind the kit.
Yeah.
Oh.
That is a lot of it. So yeah, if you've ever been on the fence, just go.
Do it.
Buy a ticket.
Next year.
Reserve.
Tickets are already on sale.
Reserve your room ahead of time. While they're cheap,
yeah. Do your room first.
Actually, we need to
we need to do that.
Take our own advice, but yeah, I mean, the hotels are really nice if you're staying on site. I think our room was less than $200 a night.
Yeah, and we booked our room 9 months in advance though too.
Yeah, and then we got upgraded to 1,000-square-foot suite.
Yeah, that was awesome.
So
it only had one bed, but
true.
But actually, the pullout was actually pretty comfortable.
Yeah. Just do it. Just come.
Yeah.
We'll hang out. I don't know that
we'll
ever
hang out.
I think that going cemented in my mind that I don't think I would ever want to turn it into like a podcast thing.
To do it there.
Yeah,
we had discussed potentially doing that, and I don't know. No, I want to go and just enjoy it
because that's going to take time away from seeing a bunch of people. Yeah. Like, that's the cool thing is, in between shows, you forget. And it wouldn't be this way for everyone, but we just know so many people. It was like a family reunion almost.
Oh, it completely was. Yeah. It completely was. And it's nonstop. It starts at like 11 o'clock and then goes until, you know, 4 in the morning. Then you go to sleep for 6 hours. You wake up, grab a little breakfast, start the day over again.
You do it again.
Exactly. 4 days of that. Well, actually three.
And if they do it at Resorts World again, like if cost is an issue, the food set up there, I mean, you can go and buy food at the grocery store or whatever, but really even in the resort with that giant food court, the food, you could eat pretty reasonably. For Vegas, I could say.
We ate at three restaurants. I think we ate at like three sit-down restaurants the whole time. And I mean, one of them was that fully vegan place that was actually fucking incredible.
We had two meals at a completely vegan restaurant.
Yeah.
I chose to eat a deep carnivore.
Yeah.
Chose to eat there twice.
It was great.
Yeah, it was really good.
So good. The Mexican place was great.
And then we went to a Japanese place. JD was fading. This was a great moment. JD was like, he's at the table and I was like, JD's been going too hard. I got a big old steak, and then he got a big old cauliflower steak.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was like, I think he just needed some food and to sit down for a minute.
Oh.
Road test your shoes. My feet got fucked.
Oh, that first night. Yeah. Oh, I had my Vans, and I was not. Yeah. Oh, the next day, my feet were killing me.
Yeah, it got my lower back. My lower back was just like, nope.
Yeah.
By the time horse started, I was just like, I got to go lay down.
Yeah, road test those shoes. Don't wear Vans.
Yeah, don't be too cool to wear.
Unless you're young.
Some big dad cushy.
Hell yeah.
Especially if you're old like us.
Hell yeah. I think I wore my Birkenstocks for the second half of the...
Yeah, that's...
My arches were nicely supported.
Lovely.
Oh, good times.
All right, well,
I think we talked enough.
We're back, baby.
We are back. Back in the saddle.
You know what I realized when I was cleaning up files last night is I never put the Andy video on YouTube.
Oh.
So
all right.
we'll drop that video.
We'll drop two videos next week.
Don't make too many promises.
Oh, come on. No, we still have to work. It's true. Believe it or not, this is not our job.
Still. It's weird how you take 5 months off of something that you already didn't get paid for and you still don't get paid for it.
You still don't get paid for
it. I was hoping I'd like log into YouTube and go, wow, we just fucking blew up.
We exploded. Yeah. We just got a royalty check for $23. No. well, not royalties. What would it be? Ads.
It's AdSense.
It's AdSense. Yeah. Yep, completely. All right. Well, and as you remember, we do actually post all these on YouTube. You can watch them. You can watch us talk with the guests.
Yes.
Rather than just listening. See what we see when we look at the bands and the album covers.
At the Bandcamp pages.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And if you have if you're a band, send us your music.
Send it.
If you are a producer, if you are a not promoter,
PR,
send us the bands that you promote.
Yeah, I will always prioritize music sent directly by the bands.
Yes,
or your engineer, or whatever. Or if a PR firm reaches out directly to us, not just part of a blast,
releases. Exactly.
But we also listen to a bunch of those too. So don't stop sending those. But we really do try to prioritize the bands who take the time and effort to directly reach out.
BlindSub@gmail.com. Of course, the blind has a Y in it.
BlindSub.
And I was going to say one more thing. Okay, what was it? COVID fog. Although I can't really claim that because I had COVID fog before I had COVID. We all did.
I was born with it.
I was born with the fog. Yeah. I don't know what I was going to say. I think I was going to say something about, if you have ideas for guests, let us know who you want on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was it.
And hopefully, possibly, maybe some exciting stuff coming up. Like we know a past guest who's going to be in town this winter.
Oh, yeah.
In town to visit, so maybe some more in-person episodes.
That's right. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And on that...
Wait a minute.
This has been
latest episode of Blind Submissions.
Blind Submissions.
And we are out.
Thanks for joining us for another week of Blind Submissions. See episode description for the links to all artists discussed in this episode. And visit their sites to support them directly by buying their music and merch. Share links to the podcast with your friends, especially if they're in bands. Bands, if you want us to listen to your music on a future episode, please submit one song to blindsub@gmail.com. That's blyndsub@gmail.com. Bandcamps linked preferred, but not required. Find us on our social media at Blind Submissions. Full video episodes are available on our YouTube. Remember, we go in blind so you don't have to. Blind Submissions.
Jeff, Blind Submissions with Jeff and JD, Jeff and JD, JD and Jeff, JD and Jeff.